If you'll turn with me tonight to Psalm 37, the 37th Psalm, and we're in this series on Wednesday night. I appreciate the feedback, not only the texting in of questions and comments at the end, but through the week I've been getting feedback on this, and I appreciate that. It's my desire that our hearts would be helped, and sometimes it's not our hearts that need to be helped, it's our heads that need to be helped. Have you ever noticed that? And sometimes God, He's able to help us up there too. Amen. The one we're going to use tonight, I don't think, thank you. Amen. Never can have enough Bibles. I don't think there's any malicious intent on the abuse or the misuse of this scripture. I think it comes really from a desire of heart. And we'll be looking at it in a moment. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Father, I pray, God, that you would use your word tonight to be a living thing. Lord, you know every individual here. You're intimately acquainted with them and with us. And you know our needs. You know how we need to be spoken to and what needs to be done, Lord. And I just pray that your word would be that thing tonight, God, that just divides asunder and pierces and changes and strengthens and challenges. And Lord, anoint my mind and my heart to share what you'd have me to share. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And since we're in the Bible study, I won't have you stand tonight. But the verse we're going to look at, the abused, misused verse, is this one. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give it to you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I have entitled this tongue-in-cheek, but getting God to give you what you want. How many knows that's the intent of some folks? To find a way to get God to give you what you want. This verse at one time was one of the most quoted verses, I think, amongst Christians. You'd hear Christians get together. You know what the Bible says? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. I know it was a well-liked, well-quoted verse at Bible school. In another camp, it was one of the most favorite verses and remains one of the favorite verses of the prosperity crowd, the crowd that believes that God has one goal in mind, and that's to make us rich, happy, prosperous, with the best of material things of this world. They love this verse as well. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of your heart. Now, I don't know when you may have discovered this verse, but sometimes it's folks as a kid. Here's this boy of 12 and he wants a new bicycle and he discovers this verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we discover it a little later. We're a teenager, we're a young man, we're a young lady, and as a young man, we discover this verse. I'll delight in the Lord, but I also delight in her. So if I delight in the Lord, he'll give me my desire. She'll be my girlfriend. And you can switch the genders on that. I don't know how it goes. Maybe you're a younger adult or maybe a young married, and you discover this verse. I want a better job, higher paying. I want a fancier automobile. I want a bigger house. And you discover this verse. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Is this verse really a verse telling us how to get God to give us what we want? Is that what this verse is really, really saying? As we've been doing, first of all, I want to look at the wrong interpretation. I've already given that by illustration, but let's look at the verse again. Delight thyself in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Here's the way it's wrongly interpreted. If there's something you really want, I mean, you really want this thing, something you have your heart set on, then get busy. Get busy seeking God, and eventually God will give that thing to you. If that's really what you want, you seek God, he'll give it to you. Here's another way it's wrongly interpreted. Start praying. Now, all of this is good instruction, this first part. Start praying. Start reading your Bible every day. Start going to church to worship every opportunity you have. And you'll find you'll begin to get everything that you want. Well, to be put simply, the wrong interpretation is seek God and he'll make all your dreams come true. Your job is to seek and to dream, and God's job is to make sure it happens in your life. That's the wrong interpretation. Now, as we've been doing, what are some reasons? Why do people wrongly interpret this? I know there could be many, but I just want to give you two. One of these reasons is revealed by fairy tales. Have you ever wondered why fairy tales are so enticing and popular? It's because they appeal to some of the greatest desires we have as humans. And the fairy tales, many of them deal with, you can get a lamp and rub it and everything you want is yours. You can meet a certain person and they'll give you three wishes and you can wish for whatever you want and it's going. And so there's something in our human nature that we would really like to find a way to magically get the things that we want. I mean, if there's a way to bypass hard work and bypass struggle and the impossible things too, we know it's really not possible. But if there's a way that it could magically happen, and I don't think Christians believe God's magic, but I'm talking about that is in the human heart, that just how somehow, almost out of thin air, things can start happening. I think another reason for a wrong interpretation is because we would really like to find a way to make this thing work. You know, faith's an interesting thing. We'll deal with a little bit of it in a moment. But, you know, if we could just find a mechanical way to get this thing to work. Quote this scripture and this happens. Pray these specific words and this result. You know, and it's almost like we're wanting to turn God and prayer into a vending machine. You know, we got to be careful. You listen to some teachers and preachers and they've made God a vending machine. If you put the right things in, you'll get the product you push the button for. I want you to know God isn't a vending machine. He doesn't work that way. And we would love to have a 1-2-3 mechanical way to make this thing work. But as we're going to discover, we're not the one that makes it work. God is. And our faith is He works it the way He sees is best. Can you still hear the youth choir singing, "Trust and Obey"? Those are some reasons for the wrong interpretation. And each week I've been pointing out the irony, too, of the wrong interpretation. Delight thyself in the Lord. He will give thee the desires of thy heart. Now, here's the irony. Most of the time, not all, I know there's some people this verse really speaks the correct thing to. But when wrongly interpreted, the irony is that the things folks are desiring are not usually spiritual things. They're usually material things. They're not things that would help the spiritual person they are. They're things that appeal to them and sometimes even their carnal nature. That's the irony. Another irony in this verse is, look at it, and I'm going to quote it several times tonight, but look at it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The other irony is, it begs the question, when wrongly interpreted, is it the Lord they're really wanting, or is it the other things they're really wanting? Which is it that they're really wanting? I want you to kind of imagine with me, we got several young men here. I want you to imagine that a family starts coming to our church, multi-millionaires. That'd be great. That's more missionaries we could support right there. Go ahead and pray for that. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And anyway, this family, and they have a teenage daughter. Wow. Let's make it older teenagers. Okay. You know, she's cute, but what you get to thinking about, if I marry her, I've got it made. Forget college. Man, I'll live off pops, you know, if I marry her. And so you begin to pursue her, treat her nice, send her flowers, write her notes. And she, man, he likes me. This is great. What if, however, at some point she finds out it's not really her that you're so into, it's her dad's money? Have you ever thought about this serving God? Is it really God that we're into? Or is it what He can provide for us? what he can do for us. And the irony is, the question that's begged is, when we quote this verse, are we into God or are we in the things that we would like for him to give us? But I think the greatest irony is how this verse is fulfilled. The greatest irony is when we truly delight ourselves in the Lord, guess what? Our desires change. Isn't that something? I mean, you could say, oh, this is what I desire. This is what I want from God. And then you really begin to seek God and love God. And all of a sudden, you don't even want that thing anymore. That's the way this verse works. That's why this verse is a promise. Because if I delight myself in the Lord, my desires change to what he would have me desire. And since it's something he would have me desire, he meets that need. Isn't that a wonderful truth? I must point out that this word desires here literally means askings, the askings of the heart, the things you ask the Lord for. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you'll find you'll start asking him for different things than you would have before you delighted in him. You know what James says, and I promised myself I wouldn't get into this James, but I've got to. James said, you ask and receive not. And he said, I'll tell you why you're not receiving when you ask. He said, because you ask amiss, you ask wrongly, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You're not asking for the right things. That's why you're not receiving from God. You're not asking. But the wonderful thing is, and the irony is, if I truly, truly delight myself in the Lord, I'll find my heart changing and I'll find my askings changing. You know, it's funny how the maturity, and I do believe it, as we delight in the Lord, we mature. It's funny the impact maturity has on you. How many can remember? I mean, for some of us, we have to remember way back. You ever remember walking into one of those candy stores? Tried to beg money off your parents? Pull out your pocket, you got 15 cents. I mean, where you can scoop those things up and buy them by the pound. How many would be honest? You stood there and looked at that candy and said, I may not have enough money now, but when I get big, when I grow up, when I got a job, I'll come into this candy store and I'll buy 10 pounds of Jawbreakers, I will. How many ever said something like that? I'm going to ask you, after you matured, some of you may have, but most of us, after we matured, we never did. Why? The maturing changed our desire. Did you know the presence of God will change your desires? So what does this really say? Well, let's look at the context. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give thee the desires of the heart. Let's put that in context. In context, first of all, we are told, I'm visiting the psalm here just briefly, but we're told that we mustn't fret because the wicked seem to have it all. The unbeliever seem to have all the pleasures and prosperous thing. We shouldn't fret. This is a context. Don't fret over what this world has. Don't fret because they seem to have everything going for them. The second thing of the context is we must consider, when we're wanting things, desiring things, we must consider how things end up. Not the immediate pleasure of a thing, but how do things end up? Let's look at the psalm again. Verse 2, don't fret because of the wicked when they prosper, because, verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It looks like they're having fun. It looks like they have all the good things. Don't envy them. Consider how they're going to end up. That's the context of this verse. Just one more thing about the context, and there's much more. I just selected three things here, but if you look at the context of this promise, really we have a choice. And by the way, if I had time to preach on this, I would. But the psalmist shows us so clearly we do have a choice in life, and some people never get this. If you'll get this from young on, it'll change everything about life. Here's our choice. We can either have immediate gratification and long-term good and reward. I didn't say that right, did I? Let's back it up. Back the tape up. You can have immediate gratification, but in the long term, have ruin and destruction and heartache and pain. Or you can have delayed gratification, and in the long term, have good and reward. We're going to see this in this song. See, so many of the things we want are for immediate gratification. Look what he says here, verse 10. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place that you envied, his nice house, and it shall not be. Look at verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This is the long run. Verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and they shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. And so here's this righteous man, and he doesn't have many of the things he would want to have. And here's this wicked man, and he has it all. He has all the good things, all the rich things, all the pleasurable things. But the psalmist said, as a righteous man, don't envy him. Consider the end. One day he'll lose it all. He'll lose his soul, and he's got an eternity without God. But look at you. You don't have much right now, but one day you're going to inherit the earth. You'll have eternal things. You'll have lasting peace. I'm talking about the context of what God would give us. Let's look at the intention of this verse. Delight thyself unto the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, here really is the whole teaching. I'm about done. Here's really how this verse works. Look for in the Lord what would make you happy and content. That's really what this verse is saying. That's what it intends to say. Don't look for in the world what would you think would make you happy. Don't look for in the world what you think would make you content. Don't look for in the world what you think would satisfy. Look for in the Lord what would make you happy and content. Delight, that word, delight thyself in the Lord. Expect happiness, and I'm using that word in the sense of joy. Expect happiness to come from the Lord and nowhere else. Why? Because in fact, joy will come from the Lord and nowhere else. How many knows God is eager to give to those who truly delight in Him? And here's the thing. It works this way with spouses and family members, parents and children. When one spouse delights in the other spouse just gives, 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 unless they're a scoundrel, and some are that way. But in the normal working of things, you know, I have found that, and either she doesn't do it for that reason or I'm too dumb to figure out, but my wife gets for me whatever she wants. She does. I may be a pushover. She's not here. It's Lazy Retreat, and I can talk this way. And I'm going to have to give her $5 for using her as an illustration. But she treats me so good that if she wants, she gets it. She delights in me. You don't see why or how, but she delights in me. And we are made in the image of God. And He's like a father. He's like a spouse. When His children, when His people delight in Him, He gives them. Because they're delighting in Him. They're looking for in Him their satisfaction. You know, I've been reading a lot about, you may not know it yet, young people, but they're calling you millennials. You may know that. But I've been reading a lot about how church can happen for millennials. And I'm disagreeing with a lot of it because they say, well, we need to quit having altar calls because millennials don't like to be called to commitment and those type of things. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And I've been thinking about how many things have been tried to make church fun and interesting for the new generation. And I've come to the conclusion that the truth is, if a person isn't into Jesus, in the end, nothing's going to interest them. If a person's not into Jesus, nothing's going to keep them in the church. If a person isn't into Jesus, ultimately, no music are they going to find appealing. But I tell you something else. If you're into Jesus, you just delight in what delights Him. You love what loves Him. And you're interested in even Wednesday night Bible studies because it's His Word. It's delighting in Him. If you're into serving God for any other reason than being into God, you will get out of it. Serving God. So what's the intention? What does this verse say? Delight thyself in the Lord. It also says, put your life under God's control and direction. Put your life under God's. Look in the context, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth. See the word delight again? He delighteth in his way. You delight in God, and he delights in setting your way in front of you. You delight in the Lord, and he delights in ordering your steps. So to delight in the Lord is to put your life under God's control. And then one more thing. Leave it up to God what you have and don't have. You know, that's the thing about asking God. We've got to figure out what we should have and what we shouldn't have. But what this verse is saying is leave it to God what we have and don't have. Look at verse 3. Trust the Lord, do good. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He'll make it happen. Verse 6, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. He does it. Verse 7, one of my favorite verses, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. But notice in all of these, God does it. God does it in your life. God orders your step. God brings about your righteousness. God causes you to prosper. That's what this verse intends to say. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He makes it happen. He'll give you what you should have. And then we close our Bible study with the so what. What does all this mean when we get it interpreted correctly? Well, first of all, let's look at it as having a right understanding of this verse. What impact does that have? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. First of all, it means we can truly rest in God and not fret. Things haven't happened in our life. The job situation hasn't worked out. The family situation hasn't worked out. Things that we want. But if we're delighting in the Lord, we can rest in him, knowing he is at work, and we don't have to fret and be upset because others seem to prosper and we don't. Delight thyself in the Lord. And so that also means that he will give us what we need when we need it. Can we have that trust in him? It also means delight thyself in the Lord. He will give thee the desires of the heart. He will cause things to turn out for our good, even if we must wait till the long term. We could know he's going to have them turn out for our good. And then there's one more thing, and I've already alluded to it, but delight thyself in the Lord. He'll give thee the desires of thy heart. We can have the confidence, if it's needed, he'll change us instead of our circumstances. You see, that's the thing about our prayers, and I know you've recognized this in your own praying. Our prayers are insistent that God would change our circumstances. But many times, God doesn't want to change our circumstances. He wants to change us to meet our circumstances. Delight thyself in the Lord. He'll change the desires of your heart. I'm going to finish in just a moment, but I want to stop and consider that point on the converse. And I've mentioned it several times, but if spending time, if delighting in God, spending time with God can change my desires for the good, does it not conversely work? If I delight myself in the world, my desires will change for the bad. See? In fact, our desires end up mirroring what we're delighting in, what we're seeking fulfillment, contentment in. Well, what if we have a wrong understanding of this verse? So what? What if it's a wrong understanding? Well, let me tell you, first of all, you set your, as someone trying to serve the Lord, you set yourself up for a lot of disappointment and a trial of your faith. If you're going to interpret this verse wrongly, because I seek the Lord, He's going to give me whatever I want, you set yourself up for some big disappointment. Because how many's already discovered you're still not driving a Cadillac? Right? How many's found out you still don't have a six-figure income? You don't count the ones on the other side of the decimal. Let's get that straight. And you know, sometimes people get this idea and they're assisted in it by false teaching. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're a child of King, you're going to get rich and you're going to prosper. Just go ahead and march into His throne and just tell God what He's going to do for you. If you interpret that verse that way, you're going to be disappointed. You'll have a trial of your faith. If you understand this verse wrongly, you'll end up asking things that if God were to give them to you, it'd be disastrous. And did you know there is a truth, Brother Bill, that if we ask God for something enough, and even if He knows it's bad for us, if we're persistent, sometimes He'll go ahead and give it to us. I remember when Israel kept saying, "Look, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king." He gave them one. Did it work out good for them? How many knows the verse? He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Leave it to God. He knows best. I remember our pastor saying many times, you go ahead, music. I think I got some comments and questions, but my pastor for years said many times, it's better to want something that you don't have than to have something you don't want. That's good, isn't it? Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires that have been changed in you because you delighted in the Lord. He'll give you those desires because you've delighted in Him. And you're desiring what He would have for your life. Amen. Here's some comments or questions. This is very good. I can hear Jesus saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. One question here. Did I quote that right? Did Jesus say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then seek the other things? Did He say that? What did He say? Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. They'll happen. You won't even have to seek them. Let me know when you're warm enough. Oh, that's Brother Tim about the thermostat. Okay, here's another comment. In order to truly delight yourself in the Lord, we first need to change our desires. And if we change our desires, we will delight in Him. And if we delight in Him, we'll desire more of Him and the things He desires for us. And that's a very good comment. The only thing I would say is the only way you'll be able to change your desires is to come and give yourself to Him and get in His presence. Those can't be changed. So do preachers that preach this falsely only have motives for making themselves rich, or do they preach it because it is easy to make others feel good about themselves? I think both of those are motives, and I would hate to sign that to ever minister that preaches this in the prosperity vein, that they're just out for the money, though I do believe it's true for some. Their record bears it out. I also want to always bring this on the table. Sometimes the motive isn't wrong. It's just people got it wrong somewhere way back. We're taught it wrong. And so they've been repeating that error to themselves and to others that they teach. And there was no intention there. You might remember when we started this that I've always taught that the number one rule when you study the Bible is be honest. Is that really what it says? Is that what God really was intending to say? I so appreciate the comments tonight. And now we've got a few minutes here. Could we stand across the building? Here's what I want us to do. Could we come to the altar and delight ourselves in the Lord? Could you do that? Don't make it the altar tonight about ourselves. Let's make it about Him. Come to the altar and delight yourself in the Lord. Could you do that? Let's come and fill the altars tonight. Maybe even put aside the asking for the evening. Maybe just put aside the asking God for the evening. Come and just delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, I want to be in your presence all day long. I've been with Jesus. I want to be in your presence. Amen. Look to Him. Find in Him your joy. Find in Him your contentment. Find in Him the satisfaction. Delight yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let's delight in Him tonight. Lord, I need your presence. Lord, I need you, Jesus. Lord, I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you want to serve Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.